Season 2, Episode 1, Hormonology, a new way to think about menstrual cycles. I get you dancing to the dicky-dicky-dicky-dicky-dog. This is my town. Welcome to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Target. Target.com is offering a lot of great deals, y'all. If you're looking for savings on apparel, accessories, look, all you females could save 20% off women's boots and BOGO items, 50% off women's sweaters. It's all valid this week. And for you listeners out there who are shopping for the home, look, you can save 30% off bedding and bath stuff this Friday and Saturday. Don't want to miss that. Lastly, if you listeners are shopping for baby gear, that's right, you got that little bun in the oven that's ready to pop soon, then you're going to be able to save 20% off all Graco products. It's a Graco, Graco, you get the gist. For easy access, check out the Target shopping link in the show notes. So if you're using a mobile app, you're going to look for the show notes, and whether you're using iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, just to name a few, you just look in the show notes, and embedded in there, you're going to find the links to all the Target goodies. All right, we're ready to roll. I'm ready to roll, right? So this is the Girlfriend Know-It-All Guide. And I'm going to ensure that all future generations of girls and women are not afraid to learn to love. So how do we achieve this, right? Well, there's a lot of pain, but it's pain to gain here. And you're going to learn to be raw, real, and vulnerable. I bring to light what most people are thinking, but really don't want to acknowledge out loud. That is until they meet me. We've made a lot of mistakes. You know, and it takes us a while, but we eventually learn that mistakes and failures are just part of our individual journey. And learning from those experiences and overcoming related challenges is really what becoming the person we're destined to be is all about. So on the Keep It 100 Girl episodes, I, Nina, am going to teach you how to own your own greatness, own your own fabulousness, own your awesome. This go-to girlfriend has jaw-dropping mother-friggin' advice, right? Everything is real and true. I keep it 100. Keep it 100 means I keep it real and true. These episodes are heavy on the ish. These are relatable, but they're not dumbed down truths in any manner. We girl talk. It's not mom-like talk. It's not clinical speak. When I give advice, we give female cheeky fun views of events, situations any woman would appreciate. So, are you ready to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray? Because you're going to hear 50 Shades of Cray-Cray. Empower yourself and boost your self-confidence in Season 2. On this podcast, you're going to hear girl-friendly insider tips. Both women and men, yes, you heard right, men eat it up too. They listen to our tried and tested successes and failures when it comes to dating, love, relationships, and just communication. Is my hand raised? Yes. How about yours? Are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
So I'm going to say it. I mean, this is probably girl code, but women are hormonal psychos. And I know you all out there, both men and women would agree, for real. How many of you out there are familiar with your own hormonal cycle? Perfect example. Back in my YouTuber life, I asked women about their ovulation cycle. And look, what time of the month does it occur? Papa! And in this next clip, you're going to hear what they had to say.
Dang, I'm mixing up either like right before or right after. I know it's like really close though.
It's a few days before and a few days after your period?
Possibly.
I used to have this little thing on my phone it used to say when I was ovulating, supposedly. I want to say, like, it's a few days before, maybe. Yeah. Is it?
I only care about myself. That is so selfish.
Did you ever wonder about the ups and the downs of hormones in your monthly menstrual cycle and how they impact your mood, your sex drive, health, and even your behavior every day? If not, you really, really should. This is a lifestyle approach for you as a woman, and it's all about being in sync with your period. In this episode, I'm going to enable you to understand yourself, your motivations, your romantic desires, and your health in a way that you could never identify before.
Nina is the host of the Keep It 100 Girl show. Keep It 100 means keeping the conversation real and true with no filters. She wants to be that positive influence in your life. Nina helps people who want to learn how to do it with confidence. Her episodes are directed to the uninformed girl and guy.
It's funny because I've learned more about my own cycle in the last 5 to 6 years than from the very beginning at the ripe old age of 13 when my period started. Personally speaking, both Gabby and I take interest in a natural approach to healing opposed to Western medicine. And I've explored both so that I can just get both sides of the coin. I've seen, witnessed better and improve results. Honestly, ladies, taking a naturopathic approach to my own health. That's just me, just saying.
What would you say is your biggest complaint with periods?
For me, mine's really irregular, so kind of waiting for it.
You have to alter everything you wear to your period. Like, you can't wear a white dress. That's off limits completely. And you always have to worry about, like, bleeding through. Like, I think they don't tell you that you have to... I don't know, at any second you can bleed through, and that's just so annoying.
I think my biggest complaint is that it can be inconsistent. It shows up sometimes, sometimes it doesn't show up, and it isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just how your body is.
It's unpredictable, and you don't know, like now, you're wearing white pants.
Like, it can show up when you're wearing white pants, right?
My biggest complaint is cramping. I cramp a whole lot, so when that first actually came on, it was real uncomfortable with me, and my mom, she really didn't really talk to me about those things. So when it happened, it came out of nowhere, and I just got a pain that I just didn't understand.
And when I think back, I was really lucky. I had, for the most part of my life, an uneventful period. And I'm going to call it easy breezy, 1-2-3, cover girl style. Then in my 30s, I underwent a series, and I'm talking a boatload, a shit ton of hormonal changes, ranging from adult acne right up to fibroids, to heavy bleeding, to just weirdness, period weirdness. How many of you out there experience the same?
That's often when women start to focus on their cycle, is when they notice something different or something they didn't like. But it would be great if women, girls, had this information from the start so they know what to expect and they know what the baseline is. So when there is a change, they can, you know, jump right on it right away.
So today I'm interviewing Gabrielle Leikerman. She's a women's health journalist and author of 28 Days, What Your Cycle Reveals About Your Love Life, Moods, and Potential. Potential, you know I'm all about that. Her mission is to share hormonology with others to ensure that all future generations, like girls, women, you out there listening, have this critical hormonal information from their very cycle. So Gabby incorporates thousands of hormonal studies to show how you and your hormones impact virtually every aspect of your day. And again, we're going mood, from bitch mood to PMS mood, your energy levels, up, down, your memory, or lack of. Love life? Yes, there is a connection. We're going to talk about that. Spending habits? You didn't think there was a connection there either. Sleep quality, your food cravings, and health. Gabby, her mission is helping women plan their lives around or syncing with their cycle. I'm all about that.
Fast forward to my 20s, I became a women's health journalist, and I was writing for many women's health magazines around the globe. And I came across an amazing study in 1999 that pointed out how our hormones impact who we're attracted to during our cycle. And I thought this was really interesting. Now, in 1999, if you remember, I'm pretty old, 46. In 1999, there was a very, you know, the internet wasn't big. It was in its nascent stage, very young. So there wasn't a lot of information bubbling up. But as a health reporter, I could, you know, dig into the journals and find the stuff. So I found this great study and I thought, wow, well, this is interesting. I bet there are studies just like this about our hormones that show us how they impact us, and they're just hidden away. So I went on my hunch and I dove right into all those medical journals. For months, I just poured hours and hours and hours of medical journals and books, and I actually interviewed experts, endocrinologists and other hormone experts. And it turns out there was plenty of research showing how our hormones impact our mood, energy, health, libido, silly stuff too, our shopping habits, how envious we are, our jealousy. I mean, really, it ran the gamut. But the problem was all of these studies were hidden away in medical journals. They were hidden away in different medical journals from all over. So one research team would do a study about hormones and PMS. But another research team on the other side of the world would do a study on hormones and physical attraction. And then another research team continents away would do research on hormones and spending behavior. Nobody was taking all this stuff and pulling it together and creating an organized timeline. And that's what I did.
Why should you care or listen? Well, because Gabby and I are both doing good things, educating women, but using a spin that's not clinical, that's boring about your cycles, right? This is girl talk. This is stuff that you would talk with your girlfriends over dinner and drinks. Well, at least I would. We're both arming women with this knowledge. And it's my personal goal for all of you listening is to be part of my Next Generation Guide, which is this podcast that prepares you for all situations mom forgot to mention, which in most cases is pretty much everything.
These are definitely none of these are my theories. I like to deliver what the researchers say.
Yeah.
You know, I like everything based on research. I'm very research based. And I've done a lot of studying of their work. They're the great ones who've done all this research. And these are their theories based on studying evolution and the way the brain has formed. So I just want to make that clear. I definitely don't do the research, and I'm not coming up with my own theories. Although I have many of my own, but okay. I keep a tight lip.
Okay. Hormonology is an app. And Gabrielle is confident that this app is going to make women's lives better. Going forward, women will know how to plan your day, week, month, even years around the predictable ebbs and flows of your moods, energies, memory, your cycle. Gabby will teach you how to tap in and zone in on those hormonal benefits and challenges that lie ahead of every woman's life. Is that neat or what?
Well, I started my research in 1999 and my book came out in 2005. So that should give you an idea of how long I delved into this and really researched it to make sure everything was right. I work primarily, when I interview experts, I work primarily with medical doctors, OBGYNs. I do report on and definitely recommend natural remedies, but I recommend remedies that are study proven. So I tend to go into the research and see what works. For instance, ginger works for menstrual cramps. Several studies have proven that. We just spoke about yoga. Yoga works for PMS and menstrual cramps. There's research backing it up. So when I look for experts about hormones, I look for somebody who's trained in hormones specifically. That's just my background as a health journalist. We, you know, try to go after the people who have, you know, the highest credentials and the most background and who are specifically trained in those particular arenas.
So this is the stuff your own doctor doesn't tell you. And when you do learn about it, it's, in my opinion, too late, right? These are all the questions and conversations that we do have among ourselves. Or, you know, we just know the signs when that girlfriend is in that PMS mood and you get that side eye or that mouth of words that really cut like a knife. This is the stuff you only care about when it's happening or when you're transitioning from one woman's stage to another, right? From puberty to having your period, pregnancy, or even menopause. Why not know what you're getting into from the start? And it all starts here.
No other app delivers the hormone horoscope. And that's the primary goal of my app. My app is a menstrual cycle tracker, but it's the only app that delivers the hormone horoscope. So there is no competitor.
Why I absolutely love Hormonology and the app is because you're going to discover a new type of menstrual cycle calendar, right? We have the moon. We have these apps that are out there. You have just the calendar method, which is all manual. These are all methods we've all used to track our periods, but this app does something that has never before been possible. Women are now able to predict what their moods, health, and behavior would be based solely on where they are in their monthly cycle, right? We always tend to gravitate to the week before our cycle because we claim that as the PMS mood, but there's more to the moods than that. And that's what Gabby taps into.
I found all this great research, I organized it, and then I plugged it into a menstrual cycle, and that became the hormone horoscope. I discovered you could quite literally forecast your day, your mood, energy, shopping habits, food habits, libido, based on where you were in your monthly cycle because of where your hormones were, if they were high or low, or if they were rising and falling.
So let's go ahead and learn about Gabby's inspiration. I always tell my listeners that we are a product of our environment, right? And that's the crux or the nucleus of our being and even our purpose in life. I asked Gabby to give listeners insight into her younger self. Being a teen or tween is always an awkward stage. And this is a classic living example of what your mother didn't tell you and the information that was not available at the time of Gabby's upbringing.
Well, you know, I came from a very reserved family. My family, my mother did not talk about menstruation or health or body issues. In fact, you know, there was a running joke in my family. If you wanted mom to go out and get more pads, you had to use code. You had to say, can you get extra cornflakes? You couldn't even come. Yeah, I know. You couldn't even say like the actual words. So it was very hidden and there was no information. And this was also, you know, the early 80s. So there was no internet. There was not a lot of sharing of information.
Gabby started her career as a health journalist in her 20s, and she started reporting on health remedies as her first line of defense.
Personally speaking, I prefer a natural and lifestyle approach as a first line of defense. When I'm, you know, I've been a health reporter for 20 years now, and I specialize in reporting on natural remedies. It's really my passion. There's so many conditions you can prevent or treat with natural remedies as a first line defense. Of course, when those things don't work or things progress, or there's certain issues that simply, you know, of course, medicine, you know, we're very happy that we have modern medicine. But I'm with you. I think in so many cases, a natural approach should be the first approach.
So I asked Gabby about her own personal and professional experiences and how she combined them both and integrated it with the whole menstrual and hormonal cycle thingy.
I was frustrated with, the medical community, basically. My own personal experiences with doctors were frustrating. It's frustrating to get a very limited amount of information from one person. You know, you're expected to get your information from your GP or your NP, depending on who you go to. And as a health journalist who has seen such great work being done, naturopathic work, and not being disseminated, and other information not being shared, when I realized how much information about menstrual cycles and hormone cycles was already known by doctors but not shared with patients, I became driven to share that information. Just basic stuff like taking fish oil or vitamin E to quell menstrual cramps. There's research that shows you could take fish oil prior to menstruation or ibuprofen. If you can take ibuprofen, I'm not somebody who can take ibuprofen, so I would take fish oil. And if you're a vegetarian, then you would take a supplement that contains EPA and DHA, you know, from microalgae. But in any case, these fatty acids and ibuprofen both work on certain enzymes, COX-2 enzymes, that block the production, the buildup of prostaglandins, which is a chemical that leads to menstrual cramps. So when you take these prior to menstruation, say 3 days prior, say one capsule, 1,000 milligrams of fish oil on the 3 days leading up to your period, you'll have less menstrual cramp pain because you'll be limiting the amount of prostaglandins your body produces. Now, doctors are actually taught this. This is something widely known. And when I learned that doctors knew this, and nobody I knew this, and nobody I knew was told this, and I've never been told this, I was really frustrated. So that lit a fire under me, and I realized there's an entire breadth of knowledge that needs to be shared, and it's not being shared because there's just no time in a doctor's office, and it's up to us to share it in a safe way, in a responsible way, with the appropriate research and, you know, double checking and everything else. And of course, always talk with your doctor before taking any new supplement or medication. But at least people should know about this stuff. And that's what spurred me. That's what inspires me today.
It's important because as women, we take things at face value. We bleed every month, and sometimes we just accept the pain or cramps as normal. Even worse, some of us suffer from these symptoms that are really not normal, but choose to do nothing. So I asked Gabby to talk more in depth about the functionality of her app and how it would benefit women in these situations.
My app is a menstrual cycle tracker app. It's a period app, but you go, you type in, you know, you plug in your cycle, and then it brings up your calendar, and you just click on the day you're on, and there's your hormone horoscope for the day, which is a summary of what your mood, energy, sleep habits, shopping habits, everything will be based on where you are in your cycle.
So knowing your predictable patterns of your hormones, such as your bitch moments, like every PML could attest and relate to that one day or perhaps week she chewed off somebody's head. In this next clip, Gabby helps us put two and two together by giving her hormonology food tips for better hormonal mood outcomes and lower those bitch moments.
And then, you know, when you're young, you're giggly, you're in class and you're like, oh my God. But, you know, when you really need to pay attention, like you said, it's when something's wrong.
Right.
Or you just notice a change that you haven't experienced before. And,
you know, something that tipped me off that there was like, something going on was, I don't know if you've ever taken those silly quizzes in women's magazines. How creative are you? Or what type of career do you like? Or what kind of, romantic partner are you interested in? So they have these stupid quizzes in, like, you know, young girl magazines, like Cosmo. Mm-hmm. So I remember taking a quiz once, and I filled it out. And I went back to the quiz a couple weeks later and I filled it out again and the answers were completely different. And I thought, well, who the heck am I? Am I the outgoing person or am I the, you know, shy person? Am I the person who likes somebody who's, you know, rugged and ambitious, or am I somebody who likes a sensitive soul? And when I got into hormone research and developed hormonology, it all became crystal clear that I'm all these things, but in a predictable pattern across my cycle. And I have received hundreds, probably thousands of emails from women who've experienced the same thing. Like, for, you know, they'll say, for so long, I couldn't understand why I could be so outgoing and chatty and confident one day and then completely the opposite another day.
Yeah.
And this explains it. It's just natural effects of hormones and they're predictable changes. Like, you now know when you're going to be upbeat or introverted.
Well, it's funny because I remember being in my late 20s, early 30s, and my poor dad, because it's like I would have these bitch moments out of body experiences. And it wasn't until like the week later, I was like, damn. You know, that wasn't me.
I get it. I totally get it. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. I think probably every single woman can relate to that. You know, even today, it happens to me, despite all the information I have, it's normal and natural. But there are ways to reduce those number of bitch moments. You know, it really is, it's all about understanding your hormones and what impacts your hormones. So, during your premenstrual week, estrogen is dropping, and that can create an imbalance in brain chemicals that moderate mood. Some women don't have this problem at all, by the way. Some women fly through their premenstrual week completely fine. So it's not every woman that gets premenstrual symptoms. But for those who do, to feel happy or more even keeled, we were talking about food before. I recommend women, based on research, reduce their caffeine intake. Caffeine has been shown to exacerbate anxiety and intensify anger, especially on an empty stomach. So don't quit because, you know, that's not good either. You'll just have withdrawal, but don't go overboard. And during your premenstrual week, also, if you can, increase your intake of healthy carbs. Whole grains, fruits, vegetables, anything, you know, carb. I know carbs have gotten really bum rap lately, but the truth is healthy carbs, whole grain, you know, long grain rice, whole grains, you know, things that are healthy, mm-hmm. Not sugar, unfortunately, not, you know, white rice, not.
Right.
But if you, healthy carbs help the brain build more, produce more serotonin, and that helps level out your moods, and that will also make you feel a lot better during your premenstrual week. So reduce or don't go overboard with caffeine and healthy carbs all the way.
So let's talk about the week before my cycle and probably yours.
That's probably due to a higher level of progesterone. Progesterone is a very sedating hormone. When my progesterone starts to rise after ovulation, it's like hitting a brick wall. Huh. I go from super, super high energy from high estrogen. And right after that, your estrogen drops and progesterone rises. So progesterone is a sedating hormone. And depending on your sensitivity to it, it can make you very, very tired. But the upside is it also helps you sleep, you know?
Yeah, that's when I sleep the best. But I've always been like that. Well, at least most of my adult life, it's always been a sedating feeling.
It's normal. It's totally normal.
There are four phases to your period, in case you didn't know. It's okay, because I didn't know either until a few years ago. So we're going to go into that right now.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I mean, I almost...
But okay, let me break it down for you. It's super simple. I can break this down for you really in a simple way. During the first half of your cycle, think of your energy moving upward and outward. Your energy, your mood, your desire to explore, your adventuresome spirit, your desire to spend, everything is moving up. It's all increasing and it's moving out. You want to meet new people, try new things, go out into the world. You want to travel. You want to go out. So the first half of your cycle, thanks to rising estrogen, your energy is moving up and out. During the second half of your cycle, your energy is moving down and in. So due to lower levels of estrogen and higher levels of progesterone, your mood, energy, libido, chattiness are all going down. You crave safety and comfort. You're moving in. You are less likely to want to travel. You are less likely to want to meet new people. You like familiarity. So you're really looking inward. So the first half, up and out. Second half, down and in.
Okay, we got some bonus conversation. Gabby and I are going to be talking about diet and period tips and tricks with women's health.
There is significant research that shows heat is wonderful for cramps. And it relaxes the spasming uterine muscles and improves blood flow. So there is a body of evidence that shows that helps.
And you know what, though? I'll tell you this. I am a tea drinker like every day. But I have to be careful because on my period, when I drink tea, the blood flow, it increases the blood flow. So if, let's say it's day two, I don't want that to happen.
Right. No, you're smart to take iron as long as you've okayed it with your doctor, because there is an iron disorder that, you know, can be dangerous, but it's a rare disorder, but you should always okay any supplement with your doctor.
Are you talking about polycythemia, by the way?
No, hemochromatosis.
Okay.
That's a buildup of iron in your system because instead of using it and expelling it, you're actually building it up. And that can be a dangerous problem, which is why you should talk to your doctor, because if you have a family history of that, you should be tested for it before taking iron.
Mm.
That said, if it's okay for you to take iron, it's very smart because iron has been shown in several studies to aid in so many cycle-related complaints. If you have a heavy period or even just a regular, you know, or light period, many women experience a dip in iron that leads to fatigue, down moods, fogginess, and they think it's, you know, all because of low hormones during their period. You know, there's that horrible, I don't know if it's so much a myth, but it's the stereotype of a woman who has her period. She's crabby, she's mean, she's tired. But a lot of that is actually due to iron loss during menstruation. And so taking an iron supplement or supplementing with food that's high in iron, such as beans, tofu, etc., would be helpful. You know, taking iron every day is important. Consuming foods with iron every day is important. To avoid that slowdown, that mental and physical slowdown during a period, but also it's been shown to aid with PMS, with premenstrual problem. It turns out that iron, especially non-heme iron is iron obtained through plant sources, as I said before, beans, tofu, or some non-heme iron sources. That type of iron has been shown to help regulate serotonin in the brain. And serotonin is a mood moderating chemical that dips during our premenstrual week because of low estrogen. And this non-heme iron, again from beans, tofu, etc., helps rebalance serotonin so you feel better. So getting iron all cycle long if you can is beneficial. And magnesium, another great I take that every day too.
Yeah, lifesaver. But yeah. I didn't know this until maybe 10 years ago. Like that stuff anyone should be taking as soon as they get their period.
But you know what I consider what we do, and your acupuncturist and everybody else who shares this information, it's guerrilla health. We are delivering health information in, you know, in like the trenches. Like, we are going out there person to person and delivering health information that should have been given to us by somebody else, by, you know, our doctor or other healthcare provider. But we're doing it ourselves, and we're taking control, and we're sending it out there into the world, and it's necessary.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, taking the pill is not an option unless you have to.
Unless you have to. It can be medicinal in many cases if you have issues.
Right.
I'm working with a new startup called Self-Made. They do professional image editing and social media strategy to help people grow on Instagram. They basically help make your images look amazing and bring more visibility to your page on Insta. They are in private beta and they have a wait list, but you know what? I have some spots for friends of friends, and I thought of you all listening who are on Insta. Yes, I know everybody is on Instagram. Anyone that Nina refers will get 25% off. If you're interested, just let me know. You could DM me or use the link in the show notes and I'll have them reach out to you. Or if you feel more comfortable, just use the link to book an appointment with them directly. You can check out their website at http://selfmade.co. That's Kat Oliver, C-O. Dating and hormones. Hormones are related to who you attract. If you're listening and single, Gabby will tell you why you should even care.
Well, you know, hormones are funny. They're funny and they're fickle. During the first half of your cycle, they want to push you toward a specific type of partner. And during the second half of your cycle, they want to push you toward a totally different type of partner. So for two different reasons. So for the first half, you know, your hormones are thinking, get pregnant, get pregnant, get pregnant. Again, hormones can be very single-minded, but, you know, what can you do? That's, they needed to be that way early on in order for the human race to survive. And they just haven't caught up with modern times yet. So during the first half of your cycle, your hormones push you toward a partner who is ambitious, fit, healthy, cocky, somebody who's confident, flirty, somebody who, now, this is an interesting thing. Somebody who is successful. Now, this is where, unfortunately, some people think that, you know, women are, you know, money hungry or gold digging, which I hate. I hate the term. It's so unfair that you want to partner up with somebody who has ambition and be successful. I think that's admirable.
I agree. You know,
So your hormones push you towards somebody who's successful, whether that's in business or athletics or even just their social circle, somebody who's the top rung. And the reason for that is because all of those traits indicate a high level of testosterone in that person. And a high level of testosterone is something your hormones want you to partner up with during ovulation to get pregnant with, because it indicates health, virility. We're wired to view high testosterone as, you know, we're going to sire good children for this. We're going to have healthy children. Then once ovulation passes, almost immediately, Yes, your estrogen drops like a rock and your progesterone rises, and those changes make you want someone completely the opposite.
But
you want somebody,
another peak period, right? Right before your cycle, you do get another libido peak.
Yes, you do. You do. Yes, that's very, very true. That's your premenstrual week. You get a libido peak. Thank goodness. Because you know what? Intercourse during your premenstrual week raises your mood, whether it's alone or with a partner or partners, that those brain chemicals release during sexual activity boost your mood and help alleviate any, you know, premenstrual irritation, sadness, or even aches that you've had. So during the second half of your cycle, you're interested in somebody sensitive and cooperative and nice and passive. And that's because if you got pregnant during ovulation, your hormones want to make sure that you're now with a partner who can help you raise and nourish the baby.
Since we're on the subject of dating, now you're going to learn the behavior driving that crush behavior, right? That love crush that we get and how it's related to our cycle.
I get a lot of emails from women saying, you know, I had this insane crush on this person and then it disappeared. But then it came back again the next month, and then the next month it happened again. And I explain, you know, you've got your week two crush and that will go away in week three. And the way you know you're really in love, that it's the one, is when you feel that attraction through each of the 4 weeks of your cycle.
Ever plan your wedding around your libido or hormone cycle, or ever think about doing that? Or do they tell you that? I've never been married, so I'm asking. In this next clip, Gabby explains what it means to be more in sync with your cycle and the practical ways to use your cycle. We keep it 100. That's real and true.
Be in sync with your cycle really means to pinpoint the best days of your cycle to do anything. For instance, if you knew ahead of time when your most energetic days would be, those would probably be the days that you would schedule, you know, repainting your living room, building the doghouse, and doing anything else that required a lot of energy and stamina. So if you know ahead of time when those high energy days are going to be, why wouldn't you use that to schedule, you know, a big project during those days? Well, you can know when those high energy days are going to be. They're your high estrogen days, and that's week two, the week leading up to and including ovulation. That's thanks to high estrogen, your muscles and energy and, you know, and even your brain energy are all peaking. So if you have a mental project, you know, a mental task, say a big test or, you know, big project, these are also the days that you would want to schedule your you know, your project. So, syncing your cycle is really just pinpointing the best days for, you know, activities, work, tasks, when you can, around your cycle based on your mood, energy, libido. If you want to plan your wedding and honeymoon, you wouldn't want to plan during a time, you know, during your week three. That's because progesterone is reining in your libido. I mean, it's really throwing a wet blanket over it. Reining in is pretty... It's a pretty soft way of saying it's killing it.
Yeah.
You know, keeping it real, yeah. You know, progesterone really kills your libido in week three. So you wouldn't want your, you know, your honeymoon during your week three. This is good information for a woman to know.
All right, now we're reaching the funner stuff. I know that's not grammatically correct, but it is in this episode. Let's talk about sex drive and our moods. The biggest pro and plug of the Hormonology app is you can see months and years in advance, assuming you have a regular cycle, of all that stuff, right? The highs and lows of those sex moods.
Also, you know, so your libido peaks during your week two, the week leading up to and including ovulation. But this is also the time when your mood peaks. You're more comfortable in the spotlight. You're chattier. You're social. Your confidence is through the roof. Of course, this is the time you want to have your wedding and honeymoon. So these are just practical ways to use your cycle. But what if you can't schedule something around your cycle? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Driving test.
You have to know, let's say if I'm getting married next year, like.
No. Actually, if you have a regular cycle, if you have a cycle that doesn't vary too much, you actually can know next year.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, my app helps you. My hormone horoscope app. I don't mean to plug it, but it does help you because you can see months. The pro version helps you see months, years ahead. You just plug in today's, you know, just plug where you are in today and you can know. That's how I do all my like dental appointments and stuff. I don't want them on the worst painful days. I want them on the best days when pain's gonna be the least, which PS is week two of your cycle as well due to high estrogen reducing pain sensation.
Spending and blowing your budget. I can tell you my own premenstrual budget revolves around if I have to have it. Especially that surge of my ravaging appetite or cravings right before my cycle. No one could tell me otherwise, right? I'm going to have it.
Well, research does show that during the second half of your cycle, you're more prone to spending on food and items for your home, a pillow, a photo frame. And during the first half of your cycle, the first 2 weeks from your period through ovulation, you're more prone to spending on things that enhance your outward appearance, clothing, jewelry, hair accessories, those things that make you look more attractive, because during the first half of your cycle, your hormones want you to attract and mate in time for ovulation. Your hormones can sometimes be a little one-track minded. And then during the second half of your cycle, your hormones, in thinking you might have gotten pregnant during ovulation, they push you to get more calories in case you're nourishing a developing baby, and to feather your nest. They also want you to make your home more comfortable place to be in case you're going to be staying there for a while bringing up a baby.
So when do women go big and typically shop? And how is it related to our cycle?
So there's different parts of your cycle when you shop for different reasons. So week two, the week leading up to and including ovulation, you're more prone to buying very high-end items, luxury items. This is where you go for the Fendi and the Chanel. And, you go big. And part of that is because of high estrogen. It makes you impulsive. It boosts your mood. It makes you optimistic. So you're very hopeful that you have the money to cover it, even if you don't. But another reason that the researchers say that we spend on high-end products during this time is, unbelievably, it's kind of interesting, because we try to edge out our romantic rivals by using high-end items to make ourselves look more important. So if you walk into, say, a networking event wearing, Manolo Blahniks, you're going to make more of a splash than somebody who has, Adidas. Wow. So the researchers believe that we seek out these products that have cachet, that give us, worth, that make us look, to try to actually get a romantic partner, steal them away or get them away from other romantic rivals. Now, the other time in our cycle when we're prone to spending more is our premenstrual week. This is the week leading up to our period, of course. And the reason we're prone to spending more is because they found that decreasing estrogen weakens willpower. Uh-huh. So we become more susceptible to impulse buys. It becomes more difficult to resist. I mean, another reason is it's self-treatment. We like to treat ourselves, and that's good, because when you do buy something that is special, whether it's like, a new nail polish or a muffin or, whatever, a toy, a new game, a new DVD, it makes you feel good, and that helps balance out brain chemicals that get a little out of balance, and impact your mood in that premenstrual week. However, if you go overboard, unfortunately, in your premenstrual week, if you spend too much, you are prone to buyer's remorse and regret, because the same estrogen that's plunging, that's making you want to spend money on yourself and treat yourself, can also trigger negative feelings if you realize, you've blown your budget. So if you're going to spend money during your premenstrual week, if you're going to buy yourself something, try to stick to a budget so that you can enjoy it without the regret.
So I asked Gabby to share her top complaints that she hears from women out there. And ironically, it revolves around the whole mood thing.
Premenstrual mood issues is number one. They want to know how to feel better during that premenstrual week. And there are easy ways. It often comes down to improving simple lifestyle habits. Again, the natural route. Good sleep, healthy diet, de-stressing, and regular exercise. These are all proven ways to help reduce premenstrual woes, both emotional and physical. And then, of course, menstrual cramps are an issue, a common issue. Again, lots of natural remedies. There's apply heat, whether it's with, a patch you get from the drugstore, or, a rice-filled, little bag that you can heat up either, in water or in the microwave. And then there's, what do you call this, a massage. Massage with massage oil that contains essential oil. A few drops. You always dilute essential oil into a base, as you know. So you rub it on your pelvis, and it's just self-massage, and you just gently rub this massage oil, essential oil. And what happens is the massage, as well as the essential oils, reduce menstrual cramps. Massage relaxes tight uterine muscles, and the essential oils also come and get absorbed by your skin, and they also help reduce tightness and improve blood flow, which helps with menstrual cramps. I thought I was losing my mind. I didn't understand why I had such wild changes in my moods, health, or behavior, whichever it was that they were having changes. I didn't understand why these things were happening, why I would feel this way one day, feel that way another, why I would act this way one day or act another way, or why my health issues changed. And they thanked me, it was very nice, for helping them figure this out, that it's really often due to their hormone cycle and that they can predict these changes. So what I'd like to say is, if you're feeling this way, if you're feeling like confused because you don't know who you are or why you do certain things, or you're worried about health issues, take a look at your hormone cycle, and you may find that these are natural, normal, sometimes frustrating, but sometimes beneficial effects of your hormone cycle.
There are exceptions. Women who have a hormonal disorder, whether it's PCOS, maybe have an unpredictable period. If they're premenopausal, menopausal, postmenopausal, then I'll tell you this, the Hormonology app might not serve your passion and purpose here. Because in all those scenarios, you're undergoing a dramatic change with your hormones.
Women who get a predictable, regular cycle, and those who have an irregular cycle, I have an irregular cycle too. Some days, some months it's 26 days, some months it's 29, 28. It's still okay. You're still following the same pattern, and that's the key, the same up and down pattern. And that's how you can predict, what your mood's health and behavior are going to be based on that pattern.
Questions to ask your doctor. You can ask your doctor to check your hormone levels through a blood test. So what they're going to be able to do is tell you how close you are to menopause through your estrogen levels.
If you feel that you are low in iron, then you should be talking to your doctor about getting your iron levels checked, and then again talking about whether you can take iron, if it's safe for you to take iron. But as for tests, I wouldn't ask for a specific hormone test. What I would do is talk about symptoms. Look, my menstrual cycle, I had a 28-day cycle for 5 years, and now suddenly it's 34 days, 1 month, 25, if there's a dramatic change, if there's spotting between periods, if there's unusual pain, anything that's out of the ordinary, anything that's different, you absolutely need to talk with your healthcare professional about. Yes, if you feel that you're having a hormone issue, absolutely ask your doctor to test for it. I had one young woman who wrote to me, she was concerned because her estrogen was very, very low. She had her hormones tested. It was very, very low for her age. And she had other symptoms. And it turned out to be a thyroid issue. Mm. So it can also reveal other health issues that are important to take care of.
So every week I give you that fist bump for you to improve your game, ladies. I'm here to empower you every week and give you that weekly dose of self-confidence so that you realize your worth. We celebrate embarrassment, self-love, and those life lessons that make you go, sheesh. I may suggest things to you that will make you say, has she lost her mind? But the fact that you all are being open and honest is a true testament of what Keep It 100 really, really means in life. You can get all sorts of free information on Gabrielle's website, myhormonology.com. There is both a free and pro version of her app on iTunes if you have an Apple device.
I'm here to just spread the knowledge. So hopefully this current generation and future generations don't grow up spending years wondering what is going on. They'll know right from the first cycle what is going on, and then they can use that information to, charge forth and reach all their goals faster and better.
And even more, Gabby does provide professional services where she helps women plan their lives around their cycle. She also counsels families with teenage girls that are undergoing lifestyle changes. And lastly, she also counsels couples on improving their communication based on both their cycles. And yes, men also have a 24-hour male hormonal cycle.
24-hour male cycle is interesting. Men start out with most of their testosterone in the morning. So their testosterone is highest in the morning. And then as the day goes on, it gets lower and lower. So when they have high testosterone, it can make them a little crabby. It can make them a little quick to anger. High testosterone, you think of high testosterone, you can picture sort of someone, big, burly guy. So say a man, either your partner or a friend, stubs his toe in the morning. He's more likely to curse and scream and, get really, really riled up about it than he would if he stubbed his toe in the afternoon or evening. That's how I sort of explain the effect of testosterone. So it's more intense. He's more intense. He also has more energy. Once he gets, breakfast and coffee, he's really raring to go. He's also a little bit on his own. He prefers to work on his own. I'm sorry, go ahead.
See, I was thinking totally different. I was thinking he just wants sex.
Well, yeah, that's too. But here's the thing. Yes, his testosterone is high and he does want sex. But because men have such high testosterone, so much higher than ours, they can have and want sex all day. It doesn't matter, even at the end of the day. For some men, their testosterone will dip too low to either want or perform during intercourse. But because they have so much testosterone already, they'll want sex all day long. And their testosterone is very easily affected by things they see, things they ingest. For instance, if they see a photo or an image of an attractive person, somebody that they find physically attractive, that raises their testosterone. That's why, very attractive, scantily clad women are used in ads. This high testosterone makes men more impulsive, so they're more likely to spend. Even if they don't even realize, or even if the woman isn't real, it could be, just an image. And they're manipulating, their testosterone. Coffee also can affect testosterone. Watching a sports game impacts testosterone. If their team wins, their testosterone goes through the roof. If their team loses, their testosterone actually drops. So men's testosterone can fluctuate wildly during the day.
New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girl Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, Alexa. That's right. If you have Amazon and Alexa, you can just say Keep It 100 Girl Podcast. You could also find me on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. If you like my style and my episodes, spread the good word, people. Share my podcast on social, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and use the handle @NinaBabel. And you spell my last name, Babe, B-A-B, with an L on the end. If you want to share your story with me, drop me a line, a question, or even a pitch, use my direct email address, Nina@NinaBabel.com. I keep it 100. I keep it real. Nina keeps it true. Smooches.